Let's get back to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Live on TalkZone.com, the Baum Show, compelling talk radio, live at 1-888-463-6748, reaching out to more than 115 countries. Thank you for listening. Before I introduce our next guest, quickly an overview of cheating in sports. I think it's out there. It's been out there in increasing amounts over the years. I'm appalled by it. Yeah, I saw guys hit 67, 68, 69, 70 homers, and I thought, wow. I saw guys' shapes change right in front of me. But having been a guy who, in addition to covering straight news, also covered sports over the years, professional and at the college level, it made me wonder how many other subtle forms of cheating have been going on through the decades of my life that no one even knew about. That no one even knew about because, as Dale Murphy alluded to in our previous half hour, a lot of times these secrets never get out of the locker room. If you ever played sports, participated in a team sport, you know what I'm talking about. What's said here stays here. Vegas uses it now, but it's really the mantra of team sports. What's done here or said here stays here. The fact that it's even getting out of locker rooms now, I find amazing. Maybe that's the technology of the day. The Chicago White Sox and a couple of blown-up dolls trying to end a losing streak. That would have stayed in the locker room 25 years ago, and nobody would have known much about that. But as soon as that happened, ba-boom. It became, because of technology, worldwide news. My point is that it's happening. It's out there. In every sport. My producer and I were trying to think before the show, what sport could cheating not occur in? I said, well, the one I can think of is chess, if somebody goes to the bathroom. Then the other guy or gal might decide to cheat, but maybe there is. I don't know. As we continue our conversation about cheating in sports, with William Morgan, Dr. William Morgan, University of Southern California professor and the author of Ethics in Sports, and I'm holding a copy of it in front of you. This is not meant for casual reading, my friends. This is the second edition, Ethics in Sports. It starts out in his preface, I'm surely not telling anyone anything they don't already know when I say the moral standing of contemporary sports at all levels leaves much to be desired. Dr. Morgan, welcome to the Dave Baum Show. Nice to have you with us today.
Glad to be here, Dave.
How much to be desired?
Well, I'm afraid the contemporary sports scene leaves an awful lot to be desired in the area of cheating and the like, although Unfortunately, I don't think sports are all that different from the rest of life, contemporary society today. But they're certainly society writ large. What goes on there is big news, and I think it's a kind of a nice barometer of the moral stature of society at large, and it doesn't say a lot of good things about us.
Well, you know, I've kind of wondered, and I've heard it so often, as I'm sure you have, that sports is a microcosm of society, but I'm wondering in some cases if it might be the other way around.
That's a good way to put it. I really do think that sports are one of the few things that people really, really do care about. So they care about what people are doing, and they get upset about it if they think they're doing something that's morally questionable and the like. And in many respects, I think sports it doesn't really reflect society as much as it sort of it's a leading barometer, again, to use that same metaphor, of what's going on in our country. And in some respects, it's leading the pack, particularly in cases of enhancing performance. I mean, enhancing performance is an issue not just in sports, but we know, for example, that prescriptions of Ritalin are up 3,000%. And why? It's because parents are trying to give their kids a competitive edge in standardized test scores and in school and the like. So we have some serious issues here.
In my comments leading up to this hour, I had mentioned in passing, in addition to some of the sports that we're all familiar with, I had mentioned cheating and lying presidents, members of Congress, state politicians, businessmen, businesswomen, manipulating our economy into a mess for personal gains, kids who are cheating endemically, well over 50% in high school, and even higher percentage among athletes. What's happened here? Is winning what it's all about, or is there something else much more subtle, because you study this? Is there something going on that's much more subtle about the world, the society we live in today, that has encouraged this winning at any cost? And frankly, the bottom line is, it's not how you get there, but the fact you got there.
Yeah, I think it's a part of the reason has to do with money. There's so much money in particularly elite sports these days, and markets are essentially want-regarding mechanisms. They're places where people go to get what they want. And in a market situation, you don't think about the self-interest of anyone else but yourself. And I think that market mentality can be very dangerous if it overspills its boundaries from the market sphere into sports, into the world of education and the like. So because there's so much money at stake, people pretty much avoid thinking morally. And to think morally, to put it in its most simplistic terms, is to take a different perspective on life, to look at life from someone else's point of view. And that seems to be less and less the case. Although I wouldn't want to prosecute all sports here, but I think the sports that have the most problems are the ones that have the most money thrown at them these days.
Dr. William Morgan, our guest on the Baum Show, live on TalkZone.com at 1-888-463-6748. We'll get to the phones in just a few minutes. If cheating is supposed to lead to winning, obviously you want an advantage. Unfair otherwise, depending upon how you define it. If cheating leads to an unfair advantage, what's the relationship between cheating, in your opinion, and athletic superiority?
Well, that's a very, very tough question, and I think the whole issue of cheating is also very difficult. For example, a simplistic view of cheating is simply there's a rule against something that prohibits a certain action. Somebody obeys it. Somebody disobeys it, the person who disobeys it obviously has an unfair advantage. The complication is, however, that breaking rules doesn't necessarily mean you're cheating. And let me give you an example. The strategic foul, for example, in basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah. Now, strategic fouling, we all know what that is. That's where you foul deliberately in a certain situation because it's to your advantage to do so.
Yeah, the guy who hits 40% of his free throws in a close game, he's the guy you want to foul.
Absolutely. And so the idea there now is that's giving you an advantage, but is it an unfair advantage? And it's a complicated and controversial area, but the argument has been that there's an expectation of mutual rule violations. In other words, I know you're going to do this in certain circumstances. I know that's an option for me to do it in certain circumstances. And that means that no one is unfairly disadvantaged in that situation.
You know, Dr. Morgan, I can't pinpoint the time. Maybe you can. But I've watched college and basketball and high school basketball just about all my life and participated for a very short period of time. I don't remember for a good period of time when this strategic fouling you're talking about was part of the game. When did it make its appearance? Was it the Wilt Chamberlain days in the NBA when he couldn't shoot a free throw either overhand or underhanded? When was the time that this became part of the genre?
I'm not an historian, so I really can't give you an accurate answer to that, but it would go back to something I said before, money. As money becomes increasingly more important, I think people look for the edge. And then we have this whole notion of gamesmanship, and it's not the same thing as sportsmanship. Gamesmanship is sort of, we know what the rules are, now let's see if we can bend them in certain ways to our advantage, and then sooner or later it gets into the actual breaking of rules.
What would be called gamesmanship? Can you give me some examples?
Yeah, gamesmanship would be Al Davis, former or present owner of the Oakland Raiders, used to, if he had a team that came in with a hot running back, they would water the field down and let the grass grow. That's gamesmanship. Strategic fouling's gamesmanship. It's working the rules to one's advantage. Mm-hmm. It's looking for just
bending a hockey stick.
Yes, corking a bat and the like. And some of these are clearly instances that involve cheating. I think for me, one of the more disturbing examples of this has been the Belichick New England example of the. Where they actually videotape the defensive and offensive signals of the mm-hmm. teams. Now, gamesmanship would involve, and it's been going on for a long time, stealing signs. I mean, this happens in baseball all the time. And I'm told that the NFL regards it as permissible if opposing teams try to steal each other's signals, but they're not allowed to videotape them. So the idea here would be if someone's using a technological video equipment and taping those signals, it's an incredible advantage if that can be done in an undetected way.
Of course, the commissioner destroyed the tapes soon after he got them into his possession, didn't he?
Yeah, and that does make me suspicious, and it makes me wonder what's going on. But by and large, I think he handled the situation fairly well. I think Belichick should have been suspended for a season myself. But the question is, it's remarkable how many of the opponents, and I was listening to Mike Martz, who was the offensive coordinator, I believe, for the Rams and the walkthrough incident, which wasn't videotaped. And he was remarkably forgiving about the whole thing. And it made me wonder, maybe this practice is more widespread, than we know it is. I think that it's a serious offense myself, and I would have been very much upset if I were an opposing coach to realize that they stole my signals and they knew exactly what was going to happen at a particular point in time. And Belichick's been he doesn't even regard this as a moral violation. I think it's more for him a technical one. It's he got caught.
And he got fined $750,000.
Yes, and... You know, that kind of deterrence is okay, but if people don't have moral respect for the game to begin with, that kind of deterrence really doesn't work because they'll just find another edge to get over their opponents.
Dr. William Morgan, our guest on the Baum Show, as we continue our conversation about cheating in sports. What did I tell you at the very outset? Follow the money. We're living in a society today in which money is the first, second, and third criteria. Don't kid yourself. Follow the money. The Dave Baum Show live on TalkZone.com. We'll continue our conversation with William Morgan. Get to the phones after these.